If I asked you this morning to give me a list of the things that would set you free, free from whatever it is right now that you feel is keeping you from being free, what would your list look like? While you're thinking about that, let me suggest to you what that might be like if you were a high school teenager and you just turned 16. Probably at the top of the list of things that would set you free would be a driver's license. A high school diploma and the age of 21. That's the magic age, isn't it, 21? But let's say you're out of your teens and you're into your late 20s and 30s. What would that list look like? Perhaps it would look like this. Your dream job. No, wait, better yet, a dream career that opens the vault. A down payment for a house, but let me remind you that if you do get one, you will never be free. Or maybe you're looking for that special someone. Later on in middle age, what sets you free? Well, the list can include a lot of things, but one of them for sure would be getting your kids to take out the garbage. Getting your kids through college, then getting your kids out of your house. And then after a few years, getting your kids to take out the garbage and getting your kids out of your house. And beyond the Middle Ages, your list might include these three things. Three things. And they are in no particular order. First, good health. Second, good health. And third, good health. Really now, what would set you free? In the gospel reading, a sign for the festival of the Reformation, Jesus turns to his disciples and says to them, "If you continue in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Will it? Will the truth make you free? What is the truth? Pilate asked. I know this. If you know the truth will make you odd before it ever makes you free. Flannery O'Connor. If you know the truth will make you odd. We have a lot of trouble telling others the truth. And in fact, there were two sisters from Iowa who made a really good living out of the fact that we have so much difficulty telling others the truth. Their names were Ann Landers and Abigail Van Buren. Ann Landers died in 2002, and her twin sister Abigail Van Buren, gave up writing her column in 2007. Dear Ann, dear Abby. So important, though, is this column that every newspaper was scrambling to find someone. The Seattle Times found someone by the name of Amy. Dear Amy, we have so much trouble with telling people the truth that we have to send letters to people. Here's one. Dear Amy, I love my job and my coworkers are great. Well, great except for Tom. You see, Tom has, and you could fill in the blank, bad breath to bad hair, whatever it is. How do you tell Tom the truth? Here's another. Dear Amy, Joan is my very best friend. She's always there when I need her. But her parenting skills are awful. Her kids are out of control. How do I still tell her and keep her as my best friend? We say we love the truth. We want to hear the truth. We want our elected leaders to tell us the truth. We want those who are running for elected office to tell us the truth. And when we think they're not telling us the truth, we look up fact finders. Fact checkers. But the truth is, we don't love the truth. It's not only hard to tell the truth to others, it's sometimes hard to hear the truth ourselves. Now, I will give you a piece of advice. People always say, "Pastor Wayne, I wish you'd preach something practical." Here it is. In the Backus household, we have no problem, Jackie and I, my wife, telling each other the truth, do we, hon? We have figured this out. And this comes as no cost to you, free advice. In our house, we use the F word. Seriously. Jackie will get something from Macy's. She will hold it up like this and go, "What do you think?" I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the people who sold that awful thing should be arrested for robbing you. But I don't. I tell the truth. I say the F word. It looks fine. It looks just fine. It is hard for us to tell the truth, and even harder to accept the truth about ourselves. Who among us could bear to hear the truth about who we are? What if we really told people what we thought? Or even scarier yet, what if you told people who you are? I'm so afraid of the truth that I walk past the bathroom scale every morning. I don't even look at it. I don't want to know the truth. You want to be free? Nobody wants to be that free. Because if you know the truth will make you odd before you are free. Jesus promises the truth will make us free. He says, if the Son of Man makes you free, you will be free. But maybe I don't want to be that free, Jesus. So it's better if we as a church don't want to be that free either. And let me tell you how the church avoids being free. We like to do things like feed the hungry or build homes for the homeless, collect bars, soap, and toothbrushes for health kits to send overseas. We'll start a single again group, or we'll provide an after-school program, or maybe we'll do a survey to find out whether or not we need a co-ed baseball team. Now, all those things are good things, and I don't want to discount any one of them, and in many ways, they are part of the vocation of being the baptized. But they're not the truth. No. Church growth consultants will tell you, yeah, go into your neighborhood, find out what the need is. We don't even have to go in our neighborhood to find out what the need is. We know what the need is. There are people out there who are elderly who need care. There are people who need child care. There are people who are hungry, and there are people who are looking for a home. We know what the need is. However, in the church, that sometimes becomes a way for us to avoid knowing the truth. So the other thing we do in the church is we decide that dogmas and doctrines are truth. We always want to dot the dogmas and cross the T's of doctrine. Truth isn't telling people dogmas or doctrines, or telling them what to do. This is not the truth that Jesus speaks of this morning when he says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here is the truth. Here is the truth. I am in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. You are in bondage to sin and cannot free yourself. The truth is, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. For the real truth is who I am and what I am. And I want to start this morning by telling you that I belong to Jesus Christ. In the waters of holy baptism, Jesus has made me his own. I belong to him, and you belong to him, and now Sonia and Neil belong to him. We belong to a God who comes to us and says, "I want you to be with me." Do you really? Do you know the truth about me? I'm in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. The God that comes to us is a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Our God is a God of grace and love, who wants every person to know the love of God for them in Jesus Christ. But as a sinner, we have a hard time with that. I'd really rather do this on my own, God. Just give me a few months and I can be a better person. Really, Wayne? God comes to us in Christ not as a God full of judgment and wrath, but as a God who comes to us and offers us this wonderful new covenant, to be part of this new thing that God is doing, bringing us together into one holy communion, freeing us to go into the world, to risk loving others as Christ himself has loved us unconditionally. To go into the world to forgive and be forgiven. Now imagine this. Imagine if you went into the world, your workplace, your gym. Imagine if you went into the world and you loved others unconditionally. You forgave others, starting with family members. You asked to be forgiven. Here's what happens. People will look at you odd. They will think something is wrong with you. Because we all know. We all know that we have to do this or do that to be part of God's family. But in reality, Neil and Sonia didn't have to do a blessed thing this morning. They were carried here by their loving family, washed in the waters of holy baptism, and given this gift of grace that can never be taken from them. To do what with? To go into the world, to love unconditionally, to give mercy and be compassionate. All right, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because if I go into the world and do that, I am just going to get stepped on. I might as well be the door's welcome mat, right? The world's welcome mat, right? I'm not going to do that. I tried it once. I tried it once with my, well, I won't tell you. I tried it once with some people I know really well, and it didn't go well. You know, one of them said, well, okay, I forgive you. Don't ever let it happen again. That is fair warning. That is not forgiveness. But you know what I might do? I might go into the world if you go with me. I might go into the world if we went hand in hand together. I might do it to show Neil and Sonia that they will know the truth, and the truth will make them odd before it makes them free. Our world wants that kind of love and grace. We know it. We've experienced it. Every Sunday we come to this table. God doesn't say, what did you do and what did you leave undone? Simply says, come, eat, drink, be fed, be nourished, and go in the world hand in hand. Because you cannot do this alone. That is why, in the waters of holy baptism, we are made brothers and sisters to be the church, the body of Christ in the world. If you continue in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.